This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The following podcast was recorded before this goal happened. Unfortunately, the commentator used up every possible superlative, making it almost impossible for us to describe it in an original way in future podcasts.
Sending high. Baker got that wrong. Out it comes to McGinn! Oh, what a goal! John McGinn with a blockbuster!
That is how you open your account for your new club. This is a pearler. I tell you what, I'll stick my neck out and say that will be the goal of the day without question. Technique, power, accuracy, an absolute belter. That is poetry right there. And they always look better when they go in off the underside of the bar, don't they? That was explosive. They don't get much better than that. What a strike. Well, if anybody deserves a goal in Aston Villa colours this season, it is John McGinn for the way he's gone about his business. He's made a huge difference in the middle of the park. I could watch this all day long. And I think we might be seeing it quite a few times. Look at that! A wonderful, wonderful goal.
Usually every time he finished a song, he'd get on a payphone wherever he was in the country and call me and wake me up. And so, like, he'd lay the phone down and start playing his guitar, you know? And that's how I heard this song the first time. I always thought this was a real pretty one. It's called My Old Man.
Can he create? Plays it in. Lovely pass. Lovely goal. It had been coming. It's Tammy Abraham with the ice cool finish.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me, a couple of the founder members of the Mad Few. It's Dan Rogers of the Villa Underground and Chris Budd. Welcome, gentlemen. We've been called out by Mr. Bruce in public.
It's a secret society I'm proud to be a part of. I'm the Mad Few. Who are the intelligent people? Who are these intelligent people he speaks of?
I've never seen one intelligent person at Villa Park. I've got no idea what he's talking about.
And as of Twitter, 77% of us are the Mad Few, apparently, so someone's
got
the numbers
wrong. Well, I mean, hand up, I've always known about the Mad Few secret society, but these intelligent people, nah, I've never seen
the intelligentsia, the Illuminati that must sit amongst us quietly being aware of what the tactics actually are.
I bet they're in the Trinity Road.
I bet they've all got big beards like Jedinek, and that's why he is one of them, and that's why he plays centre back.
These guys are absolutely ridiculous.
So dumb.
I can't believe people believe in this stuff. Like, seriously? They'll find any reason to say it's Illuminati.
So, this is a bonus episode. It's Mom's QT. Where we answer listener questions via Instagram. We've got over 35. We will put a timer on this of 30 minutes, so we'll try to answer as many questions as possible. A bit like some kind of quiz show. But in the meantime, before we kick off with that, it seems that the knives are starting to sharpen. I did say on the previous question and answer show that if Villa dropped out the top six, then the guillotine should be brought out in the centre circle of Villa Park. And Bruce got us back into the top six. But unfortunately, the day after, the results meant, I think it was the main culprit was the Sheffield United draw against the Blues. Villa have dropped down to seventh now. And as if
fucking 13th now.
You know, obviously the guillotine is a metaphor, but the club seem, the new owners seem to have followed through because Villa dropped down to seventh. They fired seven of Bruce's lieutenants.
See you later,
Ian Atkins, chief European scout.
Gone.
Who else is gone?
Tommy Mooney, who's the loan manager. I think that's justified. John Harrower and Mark Britton, who apparently are loan coordinators. And there's three of the scouts.
What have they been coordinating? I'm confused. What?
No idea. But
it's taken three people to carry Ross McCormack to the airport to send him all the way to Australia.
Twice.
Yeah, one of them had to sort out a visa because normally you've got to add something to the society or culture that you're joining, and they really struggled with McCormack. And
does he like a drink? Yes.
He's in.
Do you promise not to tamper with our strawberries? You're in.
But as anybody knows, in warfare, if you want to take somebody down, you've got to isolate them. So what the new owners have done have just literally just slaughtered seven of Steve Bruce's lieutenants. He's obviously kind of isolated himself from the fans by slagging them off and also calling out the local press as well. So it's very much casting a lonely figure now, Bruce. So if he doesn't win his next few games, he could be in a spot of bother. Would you agree?
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm all for calling out the Evening Mail. So on that side of things, I think, you're probably fair game. With the fans, it's never a wise move.
I think it's a stupid one that he's, in the context of only having beaten Rotherham in pretty unspectacular fashion. And the thing about the local press thing, I don't really get it because they haven't exactly gone after him, have they? I don't think they've been nearly...
No, not at all.
I don't think they've gone after the club or him with nearly enough scrutiny. So I think he's dropped a bollock there.
Yeah, I think he was aiming that at, was it Matt Kendrick? I mean, it was Chris who
told me about this marathon video breaking down all the problems. And he was quite fair to be fair to him. It was quite a measured piece. It wasn't like a full-on rant. I'd recommend anyone who's listening to take the time to watch it. Actually, it's one of Matt's sort of better pieces, you know, compared to the usual clickbait that they deliver.
Mm.
To be fair to Kendrick, once it gets to this kind of DEFCON 2 situation, he does speak as a fan, and pretty much his opinions match most, I was going to say intelligent fan, but I've already said there's no such thing. But let's say reasonable fan, he syncs up with, you know, with most. I mean, it's common sense. If you're not winning games, if you've gone 2 years without... actually putting out a cohesive team that plays to any system or style, then it's pretty logical that people, even the most diehard who have swallowed all the propaganda of Bruce being the championship expert despite never winning the title, etc., even, you know, now they've turned as well. It's just logical. And as you said, fair enough if you want to give it the big un, wait until you've won four, you know, three or four games. Yeah. But to do it after a game that, I mean, come on, if there's any game that we should win, it's a team that's just got promoted, playing them at home, and you just compare teams. I could not tell you one Rotherham player.
Well, and they look like a team that hadn't won, was it? I think they'd won three times, and was it 28 away championship games? You could see exactly why they didn't look capable at all. Well, I mean, in brief, though, I did say we gave them opportunities to, and I put a quick piece up on my website, and it could have been a very different game if I think the guy had, there was a chance in the first half that was that was well blocked by Chester. And there's a chance in the second half where the kid does a diving header.
Side
at the back,
netting, yeah.
You know, and better players, better teams in this division will take those chances. It's the lack of discernible style for me. Is if you were to say, how do Aston Villa play? I see them every week. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, no, that is the number one issue here. Because if you can see things are going to get better because he's got a plan, then you know, you cut him some slack and you think, well, we'll get there, you know, because he's just trying to do this. But we don't know what he's doing.
No.
I think, in regard to Bruce's comments about fans or press, it's kind of like your team's just gone out and won, and they actually, in patches, played quite well. Mm-hmm. He could have simply said, everybody can see there's progress. And he could have left it at that and said, right, and it speaks for itself. But he felt the need to chip in a sly little comment when he could have very easily just kept his mouth shut and just got on with it.
And that's where I think that I sort of sit in this, I know it annoys people, this middle ground all of the time. But it's that barometer. It's asking people who are sitting in the middle ground to lean the other way and say, actually, what point is Bruce trying to make about what my view of Villa is here? And
yeah, because ultimately, to him, it shouldn't matter. He should have his plan and he should stick to it. And people would probably have far more respect for him for doing it, a la someone like Mourinho or like Ferguson used to do. You know, these sorts of people don't care what people think.
Yeah, well, this is what I was about to say. The interesting thing is here's somebody who professes, you know, doesn't use the internet or...
Bollocks.
Thinks it's all evil, but he seems to be pretty au fait of what people have been saying.
Yeah.
He actually made a reference of people saying that, you know, that... who don't think Jedinek can play centre back, and obviously called out the Birmingham Mail as well. So he's obviously reading this stuff, or somebody's putting it under his nose. He's probably been listening to every one of these shows as well.
I mean, do you know what? It's not like it isn't a point that everybody has mentioned. It's not like it's a select few who have zoned in on it. It's something that's been a theme right through pre-season.
He's probably referring to Jedinek, who every time the team sheets announce, asks Bruce, I'm not a centre-back. Why are you playing me at centre-back?
Shut up, you're part of the mad few. Convict.
Right, we could waffle on about the situation, but we've said enough as it is. So we'll crack into these questions. So we won't go waffly-waffly. We'll try to nail as many of these in 30 minutes as possible.
Start the timer.
Right, first question.
Yes, let's
first
do that
question. First question, Stu Westy 7 asks, will there be another director of football installed? If yes, who fits the bill?
Well,
yes, there will be.
No idea who.
No, but the fact that they've just gutted 7 backroom staff on the football side of things suggests there's a big restructuring about to happen.
Yeah, they want it done their way, don't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of Twitterati are there sitting there going, why haven't the new CEO or new owner sacked Bruce yet? You know, they're not serious. The gamblers. It's like, dudes, first of all, what you do is you do your due diligence. You root and branch, look at everything. You can't buy a club but know about every person who works there and what they do, you know, whether it be the chief European scout or the fitness guy. You only know that until you start to get under the roof of the place and start looking around. So we're starting to see the first seeds of them sowing what will be the future on that side of thing. Anyway, next question, Stu Westy 7 again. Why do you think the announcement of the new CEO was done with no fanfare?
It was a clever, shrewd business appointment, I think. You know, it's an interesting one, other than a couple of very, very short pieces. I think something appeared in The Guardian, a few of the local sites and blog sites put some stuff out. We needed a CEO. We've got a decent guy in quickly. I like how the current regime are operating without a constant commentary. I prefer that over Dr. Tony, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, we asked the question at the last fan consultation meeting when we met the head of security of Aston Villa, who referred to himself as the guardian of Aston Villa. But we asked when will we pretend, and said, well, where have you been the last 5 or so years?
Is it just like Zorro? I dress like Zorro, if that was my title.
I did actually ask him, where have you been the last 5 or so years? But anyway, but I did pose the question, when will we have a chance to speak to the CEO at one of these meetings? And they essentially said that he is doing his research, you know, going through meeting everybody. And he still had meetings with various department heads that week and also this week as well. So he is running under the radar at the moment, but I would expect him to... make a public statement soon enough, or become more public in his operation, shall we speak. But this is the way you run businesses. You don't just, you're not on Twitter doing bloody emojis every day. I mean, that that appeases and entertains the unintelligent fans. But the members of the Mad Few are not impressed by that kind of shenanigans.
The Mad Few has got like a nice Game of Thrones type group about it. I'm happy to be part and lead the Mad Few if requested.
Yes, yes. Well, what most people don't know is this Mad Few have been running for many years now. We overthrew Paul Lambert. We got rid of McLeish.
The Mad Few with no faces.
When we're needed, we appear. Next question, Luke AVFC28. And sorry, we're just firing out these questions as they came randomly. Would a new manager be able to quickly change our style and make us more attack-minded? Yes. Chris?
More than likely, yes.
I think we have the personnel that a lot of managers would look at and who, if they were attack-minded, think, this is a nice toolkit to do a job with.
At this level, would you'd actually call it an embarrassment of riches?
Mm. I think so, yeah. So I think change of style, I think pretty much within a week you would notice a difference in the next game, probably.
You just go, guys, the goal is that way.
I'd like to see what a inverted commas, modern manager's approach to the players that we've got would be. I think that this, you know, against Rotherham, there was these long periods where there was no flair, there was no momentum, there was nothing happening. You thought, you looked at who was on the pitch and you thought, this has got to be team orders, surely, that this restrained way. I've got no desire to see a change of manager in season unless there's a tragedy going on, but you'd like to think someone could come in and do and apply their own style to it.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at, just picking up from what you just said, you'd look at that Wembley playoff final and you're thinking, who's, you know, somebody's told them not to bother trying to score.
Felt like it.
Next question, Jack 28 AVFC. What are your thoughts on the John Terry situation?
I love John Terry.
Probably the right decision not to get him though.
Well,
no, we'd have probably got maybe one more year out of him, but you know, it's not exactly a forward thinking move.
It's all about the money. Yeah, it's all about the money, and it failed last time when he's 1 year younger. And when I say fail, of course there's some positives, but ultimately you don't pay 60 grand on a defender in the Championship unless that defender gets you promotion. So we needed John Terry to score at least 10 goals as well as keep plentiful clean sheets, so he's failed.
I mean, if it was one thing for me, he should have been on the leader on the pitch who in the huddle said, right, disregard everything Bruce has just said to
exactly
you.
Which... Wembley Cup final. It should right, lads. Forget everything he just wasted half an hour telling us.
Forget everything that man over there just said.
Chester, you go up front. Join Grabon. I'll just play on my own at the centre back. I can deal with these fucking small time prawn munching,
white shirted, squirrel stroking, Waitrose online clicking. John Lewis partners.
Exactly. Terry could have dealt with them. Could have bombed on, and we could have. It'd have been an absolute. It'd have been like General Custard's last stand. We'd have bombarded them.
Playing a fucking cottage.
Instead, we didn't even get one corner. Anyway, moving on.
Oh God! Stop opening the wounds.
Dan Bridgerman 7 says, "Will we see Terry back at Villa? No." Next question.
Has anyone seen him since he went to Moscow? I know that he said he's been very quiet.
Next question. Max have one IXND. How far down is BCFC?
Deep.
Sliding.
Deep down. Have they won yet this season?
Nope.
Well, they'll be going.
Do you know what? Who cares?
Well, here's one statistic for you. No team has ever avoided relegation by not winning a game. So,
oh my God.
Oh my God. Just think about that stat.
Whoa, man.
Whoa.
Do you know, it's going to be even harder for them when they get their 12 points deducted as well. That's going to be a fucking... Yeah.
Well, they'll also be the first team... Well, nobody's definitely avoided relegation by not winning a game and having 12 points deducted.
The minus 12 trillion point stadium or whatever it is they play at now.
This was recorded before they got lucky with their win at Leeds. Next question. Nick Breakspear asks, what do you think we need to step up that extra level to get us near the level of former years?
Ooh.
Now, which former years are we talking about?
I was going to say.
Early 80s? That ain't going to happen.
1880s.
1880s, that ain't going to happen. Maybe a sneaky League Cup.
Mid-90s, maybe.
Mm-hmm. European football in a League Cup, I think, is always the aspirations of Villa from my point of view anyway. And we need a new manager. Before we start, anything else?
I think if we're going to be modern and progressive, I don't think the mid to long term future bodes well for Bruce, does it? I think if we're honest.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he'll be Villa boss next season, and you know that's not being facetious or anything. That's just if we're still in this division, then obviously it hasn't worked out. And if we're in the Premier League, then I mean, come on, we've got some serious players now owning the club, and they want to push on and challenge and. You know, get us amongst it at least in a few years' time. Anything else to add? What do you think?
In the short term, just consistency on the field, off the field, sustainable foundations, and some high quality recruitment. And that doesn't mean loans.
No, yeah. I agree with that.
Actually build our own team.
And I think I've always had a bit of a bugbear around this notion, and it's not very PC in Villa circles to say, is that the academy has not delivered nearly enough quality consistently enough over the years.
Yeah.
You know, and I sort of agree, there was, I forget which top club it was Man City or Chelsea, and it was almost like, well, what's the point of having the academy if it's not going to deliver players that come to the first team? And
yeah, especially if you're spending a lot of the time bullying them and locking them in cupboards. Oh,
allegedly.
Moving on. Corti is on fire. When's your Dolmio day? Well, there's two ways of addressing this. It's you can go the, let's say, the period route, or you could go the spaghetti sauce route.
Hang on, what's the period route?
Well, the period route is, that's when you have your Dolmio day, because it resembles red pasta sauce, does it not?
I'm dreadfully lost.
What do you mean? It's when you have your period.
Monthly. I don't have a period, by the way, but... Do you?
Yeah, but that's what I thought. It was monthly. But apparently on the street, it is a weekly thing. Well, wow. That's what they refer to. So, Chris, any offers?
Saturdays at 3 p.m. usually.
Wow. I get
very angry. That's what it means.
And you start to menstruate all over the Holt End.
It gets bloody, that's for sure.
But I think this might be somebody trying to be smart with us, but also there was something about...
I have no idea what this is.
There was a health scandal about that kind of spaghetti sauce, Dolmio sauce, had so much sugar and salt in it that they were recommending you only eat it once a week. So there was some kind of catchphrase, what's your Dolmio day? Is like when you had, you know, which day would you have this pasta?
Anyway, I mean, the link would be, I suppose, how much we consume Villa and how that is for your general well-being. I know my well-being is changeable.
Villa's far too salty to have more than once a week, so they should scrap these midweek games. It's unhealthy.
Acid, it's like lying in the acid bath.
It's like reflux.
Next question. Sheenhan Grady,
great name.
Grady says, looking at the teams in the top five, the quality of Villa's squad on paper should defo be up there with Leeds.
Is this one where I make one of my outlandish predictions, like I did with that Cardiff would never get promoted and that Leeds always implode, isn't that? Leeds always implode. We'll be fine.
After 8 games last season, Leeds were actually top of the table above Wolves, and obviously they imploded, and they do have the same squad. Their manager's obviously done a good job to instill a new culture there, but he also has a track record for his team's burning out
for
as
fluffing
well.
It, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be I'm kind of intrigued at the moment. I'm not bigging up Leeds at the moment. I'm just kind of intrigued to see where they are, let's say, after like 15 games.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, next question. David Blick asks, I quite like this one.
It's a good one.
Backstory behind this question was we were exchanging texts about something. When I got his text, I was actually reading the Instagram questions for the show, and I came across this question, and I screen grabbed it, and I was just about to send it to him just because I thought he would appreciate it. And actually, then I noticed it was actually him that sent in the question. Anyway. David Blake asks, how many players have improved under Bruce's coaching? Bet you can't name two.
Grealish.
No. Well, what do you think he's instilled in Grealish's game?
Actually, do you know what? Wasn't it the fitness trainer who was given the credit for Grealish improving last season?
Ollie,
I think
Hutchinson.
Terry had a lot to do with him as well.
Terry, the fitness trainer, Ollie. Elphick put his arm around him, taught him everything he knew. Allegedly.
Right, too many... Okay, two players. How many players have improved under Bruce's coaching?
Come on, we're against the clock here.
Okay.
That's the point. Next.
I'm trying to think of players that have moved on the...
pass on this one. Pass, bing, 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 pass, bing. pass. It's too hard. Sandeep14 asks, and this is another clean sheet, question mark. I think he's referring to the next game. He also asks, two wins on the trot, question mark.
Also, yes, please.
Yeah, we need that.
Well, if we can get two wins on the trot, then maybe Bruce can start slagging off the fans properly.
I think we need to win this. We need to start stringing wins together. It's what we've said forever. You're not going to get this division going, oh, we're back on it, and then going and drawing the weekend or losing again. It's just...
Yeah, I do hate this kind of week-to-week culture. I mean, I don't like it. I could sit around when Villa win, write a blog, oh, yeah, we're going to do well, and then we get beat and then go, oh, no, Bruce out, and then next week, oh, yeah. It's like, too boring. Anyway, next question. Redhead1973 asks, only recently discovered your excellent podcast. Why is it not more regular? Good question, Dan Rogers. Why is it not more regular?
Well, my good friend, Redhead1973, you sound like a beautiful, beautiful redhead. Well-matured, 1973. Anyway, I digress.
Because Dan Rogers likes to disappear.
It's not.
Editing sometimes takes so long. And
we're after quality, not quantity.
Yeah. I get depressed and I go weeks without able to like just listen to anything about Villa.
It's the mad few. Listen, I've got to spend hours of my life editing Al Mohammadi jumping over Grealish randomly on the pitch. Some people have got to...
Exactly. The mad few do what the fuck they want when they want.
Hell yeah.
and we're just bloody busy and important mad people.
See, it's hard work being mad. Just ask my therapist.
But Redhead 1973, you are correct in inferring that in the guidebook to successful podcasting, it will always say, make sure you release a podcast on the same day every week so your viewer and listener knows when to expect it. We fly in the face of rule books.
We take the Steve Bruce approach to tactics.
We make it
like
week
the traditional kickoff. We don't do Saturday 3 o'clock. We're Friday 7:30 when you're exhausted after a work. We're Tuesday at 7:45 when you'd rather be anywhere.
We're Champions League at 6 p.m.
we just
the fuck is that all about?
We just pop up when you're least expecting it. We'd just like to keep you on your toes. I mean, that's actually the kind of the ethos of the show because we'll throw in all kinds of crazy shit just to make it interesting and a little bit different here and there. I mean, come on, we've had time machines, podcasts from different decades. What else have we had?
Locations, good and bad.
Guillotine sounds, Superman sounds, Negatron, Jedi Next Jungle, Twitter with Tony.
What do you want?
We just like it's just like one big sandbox where we just mess around in. One day, when the Mad Few podcast comes out, you'll check iTunes one day and there'll be no My Old Man Said podcast there, because that will be the first clue that the Mad Few podcast is finally being launched. Anyway, on to the next question. Harry Hart asks, do you think Dr. Tony is carrying any influence on the board?
No.
Chris, that list of seven people that they got rid of, was Dr. Tony on that?
He's the next one. He's in next week's round of redundancies, I think.
Horrible people.
In reality, very, very little is what I'd say. Very little in terms of day-to-day and zero on the footballing side.
I bet Dr. Tony isn't even trusted with petty cash anymore. He can't even authorise a stamp at Villa Park.
As we've already discussed on previous shows, this kind of keeping face. But I'd also venture forth that obviously Recon have got this...
Who? Sorry, I can't find them anywhere.
I've got that sponsorship of the training ground, so that must have some kind of contractual obligation or something. I don't know.
The clue's in the second syllable.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be interested to see if he'll be there next summer, put it that way.
I can't see it.
No. Mr. Linternet asks, and we are halfway through at the moment, the 30 minutes.
Go!
Little bit over. Mr. Linternet asks, is Bruce right to call out the media and some fans? The intelligent ones will see right through this nonsense. Well, we already inferred to this at the top of the show.
I think this could be a big error, I think, in judgment on his part to distance yourself from the media and I think fans who are watching Villa and probably maybe nonplussed by Bruce, but not really either way. It gives people reason to dislike him unnecessarily.
It gives them ammunition. And if you talk the talk, you have to walk the walk. And he's just set himself... He's just added more pressure to the Sheffield Wednesday game, because if they don't win that, and you know, our recent record against Sheffield Wednesday hasn't been fantastic, then he's inviting a counterpunch, shall we say. Right, next question. Vincent 304. Any idea why the Holt Suite is closed again?
It's not. It was open against Rotherham.
That answers that question. Callum Pavey, 12, asks, thoughts on what Tammy can bring to the club?
Power, a partner for Kaja, focal point, natural finisher, work rate. He's the fucking complete striker.
Somebody who actually knows how to play centre forward would be my, what I would offer up.
Yeah.
What would you say, Chris?
He's a partner for Kaja, isn't he? The goal against Rotherham proved that. I mean, fucking hell, Kodja passed. I mean, it's got to be, you know, worth its weight in gold just for that.
It was
just a really well constructed goal. Considering usually we lump the ball in the box or set plays.
It's rare. It's like you're watching him and you think, actually, he knows how to play his position. He's making runs. His movement's great. He's looking for it. And it's an obvious thing to say that, but it's not something that has come across with many players.
And he works hard as well, you know.
Yeah.
He does. Tracks back and he puts a shift in. Didn't he, right at the end of the game for bringing one of their guys down? He's willing to take one for the team.
Yeah.
I said just one quick observation from me. It was after 10 minutes at Blackburn, he was already turning around asking why the mad few who were playing behind him were kicking it chin height at him. You know, playing on the fucking ground, you morons.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll have a chance. I think, you know, saying after 10 minutes what we've been screaming at the bitch for 2 years.
I did notice that. I did chuckle to myself.
If not longer.
And he even looked up to the sky with this, like, the fuck have I done here?
On more than one occasion.
I could have been playing in the Europa League with Chelsea. Next question. Booth, and the name cuts off, so apologies for that. I've got no idea what Instagram calls you. Does Bruce deserve credit for showing tactical flexibility against Rotherham? Well, we would have to put this forward to the Council of the Mad Few before we could possibly answer that. We need to get clearance if we're going to give Bruce any credit.
My 6 punts is that clearly he changed the formation. Did we win? Yes. I wouldn't really class it as being flexible.
Yeah.
Playing Jedinak in that game was the right option. You know, they lumped it up all night. He won a lot in the air. Fair enough. Two up front, he got that right.
Mm.
But you can't really gauge flexibility against a really average side at home that you should be beating, however you set your team up. So
yeah, we will see.
Did he get it right? Yes, but it's too early to tell about.
We will see. In the next few home games, whether this two up top is his recipe for home games, basically to put the opposition under the cosh as opposed to paying them a bit too much respect. Next question, Geordie Villain says, does Bruce's criticism of fans questioning him further deepen the cracks in the relationship? Well, as we've alluded to, pretty much a big yes on that one.
Yep. Claire, this is not helping his cause.
Claire M. Kilroy asks, how does Bruce justify calling me mad and unintelligent?
Well, mad, Claire.
Well, unintelligent, Claire.
He can't really justify it, and that's why I think it's like with some of the bizarre team selections he makes that you can't see the rationale for it sometimes. And I think that why after a victory which wasn't that impressive and off the back of some pretty dour performances, you can't suddenly go, right, this is my opportunity to... Yeah. Isolate myself from the press and disenfranchise a load of the supporters. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm sure Claire is not mad or unintelligent. Like most of us, you know, after 2 years, you start to... We're not basing it on being, you know, mid-table as we were after seven games. Most people have flipped the switch because this is basing their feelings on 2 years.
Mm.
See, Matthews 5 asks, how much longer will Bruce have?
Give him till Christmas.
I think it depends in the next month.
Depends where we are.
Because we've got December serious fixtures, so he needs to get some ebb and flow going with this team before he gets there, because we need to take points off those games against the relegated Premier League teams, and also Leeds and Middlesbrough. We are playing as well. But, I mean, if he loses 2-3 games on the trot at any point up until Christmas, I think he'll be in casualty.
Yep.
Anything else to add to that? I'm on the fence, Dan Rogers.
No, I agree. I think to give him till he's probably got, because that Christmas period, you have such a busy period of games where that, you know, it'll tell you exactly where you are when you come out the other side of that. If there's going to be a change, that's where it's going to be.
The Modern Bee, and then it says dot, dot, dot. Instagram has obviously abbreviated the name. We'll just say the Modern Bastard, it must be. Are things really that bad? Well, the fact...
No.
Well, you're a glass half full kind of guy. The fact that we're even mentioning the word administration in the summer period suggests that we were on a very dark, dark road.
Yeah, exactly.
But we also find ourselves in a situation now as a club where... We're looking at what's happened to Forest and the likes of Derby and Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday and this kind of sinking sand of the lower divisions. And I'm sure this is a concern to the new owners. They've kind of got to put the rocket boosters on and get us out of it, because once you get stuck there, it is hard to change the culture. You know, suddenly fans' ambitions drop and everybody's kind of content and they want to keep the manager for stability and all that kind of nonsense. So I think things are bad because it's not bad in terms of, you've got Bruce, I think you'll get you to the playoffs probably, but that's about it. So it depends what you want.
I mean, we've been around, generally been in the top six this season, and we've been dreadful.
Yeah.
Let's use the overcoined Bruce phrase of there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
You know, we've been up there and we've been awful. So you'd like to think we can only improve, be that with Bruce or without.
Next question, I can't really answer now because it would just take too much time. OTAV asks, favourite mom's moment and why? We will add that. We are running out of against the clock here. We have about 4 minutes left. So we will throw that in the future Q&A, and I will regale tales of old. Connor Thomas asks, what do you prefer, Codger and Abraham together or just one of them up top?
Both.
Next question.
Yeah, I think go for it. But if I had to choose one, Abraham.
Yes.
Next question. Luke Forrester, 17, asks, does staying in the top six mean SB in a job? I believe he has to win the next two back-to-back. Well, we're not in the top six. That was just a 24-hour mirage.
He's got to stay up there and there. He's got to stay there or thereabouts, people.
Yeah, and that's why I
yeah, in reality, yes.
That's why I came up with the guillotine metaphor, because the reality is that's what he has to do. Roscoe AVFC, what are Bruce's actual tactics? He's been there 2 years now, and I still don't know what they are. Well, even the mad few have got no idea.
No. If I was to hazard a wild guess, I think it's ultra-conservative in the hope that we get a chance, and then if even against Rotherham, I thought we showed no ambition to get a second goal until you know the opportunity presented in the second half.
Yeah, he's very much the get the job done is probably his mantra. However you do it, just get it done.
And when we went 2-0 up, he brought Bree on for Abraham 5 minutes to go.
Bizarre.
Villa Bible asks, if you could have any I thought he was going to say if you could have one superpower. If you could have any player back from last season, who and why? Chris Samba, without even a thought. Chris Samba.
Johnson, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, Chris has hit the nail on the head for me, though. Sam Johnson.
Yep, Johnson for me. Definitely stability. We developed him. Safe pair of hands. Knew the club. Why on earth did we let him go to the Albion?
And he hates being at West Brom. Look at his sad
face.
Oh,
he's sad. He's got an ideal boiler as a sponsor. Oh, dear God.
Villains UTV. OTV! What positions do we need to improve in the January window?
Well, centre-back.
Centre-back. Goalkeeper, maybe.
Manager.
Centre-half for me, that's about it.
Patellini.
Other than that, we've got more than enough.
Right, we've got a couple of minutes left. Patellini says, why are we always late with subs? Good point, actually.
Bruce
is always... He's not as proactive as his opposite number, normally, in my... experience,
no.
Anyway.
No, he's reactive, he's not proactive.
Yeah. Luca Ray Shell, Bruce in or out, in your opinion?
On the fence, baby.
Short term in, medium term, so out. It's ridiculous how far out.
Yeah, I don't think Bruce is Villa's manager next season, whatever happens. It's what point can you get rid of him this season? I mean, that we don't know, because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, because you don't just go, look, Bruce, you just got beat by Bristol City or whatever, and then bag him without actually having a plan all in place.
That could be the real risk for him if these guys are ruthless, because, I mean, Eden sacked his best mate, didn't he? From his other club. I was just say briefly, I think if an outstanding candidate came up, I think and we weren't doing fantastically well, I think he could be at risk.
Yeah, completely. Andrew Rankin says, happy with Hourihan, Grealish, McGinn starting together?
Oh, yeah, like that a lot.
Yeah. Against most teams, there'll be some teams where you're going to have to be a little bit pragmatic and say we can't throw the kitchen sink at them. But if they're all clever, they can make it work.
Are we talking here about dropping the DM that Bruce has tended to play? I mean, I've mentioned this in the previous podcast where I thought we are meant to be the bosses of this league. If you look at our squad on paper, I mean, it hasn't played out on grass yet. But Bruce always goes with this DM, which I don't think is necessarily a championship kind of ethos. It's more if you're in the Champions League and you're kind of grinding your way through, you know, against Real Madrid or whatever.
It's an away from home tactic, isn't it? But when you've got someone like McGinn who's quick and snappy and likes to tackle, he'll do the dirty work anyway.
But isn't it about this sort of plan A, plan B thing that, you know, if for argument's sake you are we're on some run of form and we're trying to hang on to a 1-0 away from home against a top team, that's when you switch your formation and you drop out a McGinn or Hourihan or a Grealish for Edinak, don't you?
Yeah. Next question, Harry. Stop waffling. Harry. Harry Carlos, we've only got a few seconds left. Harry Carlos asks, what system should we play to include all our best players? 4-1-3-2? Jedinak holding midfield? No, we just mentioned get rid of Jedinak. We don't need any holding midfield.
Stop accommodating people.
Yeah.
Next.
Dan Clark, 87, says, thoughts on Bolasie?
Goal.
Goal.
Cool.
I like, he's kind of intelligent, quite funny. But I like the quote when I read about him where he says, he's so unpredictable, he doesn't even know what he's going to do.
I think he's going to have some pretty good bants with Grealish as well. I think there's going to be a bit more gluing trainers going on this year.
Forget all that bullshit. We took our eye off the ball as soon as we started gluing trainers. We started to slide down the league. Anyway, Holten Perry says, are we going up? Not a fucking chance. Next question. hopefully is the H word there I would use.
Yes.
Instead of hell no. Next question and final question. X unknown underscore LJ dot X.
I like this question.
How far in the table do you think we will finish at? Did that make any sense? So this is like a prediction.
Third.
Ooh. Sixth. And I'll tell you what, that West Brom Villa playoff final is going to be something else.
Oh, that would be good, actually. That would be worth the playoffs if we we have to play. Well, it's not going to be the Blues.
But they'll be still on negative points, won't they, mate?
I don't want to go to the playoffs. As I said in a previous podcast, the worst scenario of this season is getting to the playoff final and losing again.
Losing again, yeah.
As I said, I'd prefer relegation to that.
I think the mad few would have to get on the pitch and perform a sacrifice of the then manager. A gutting.
Definitely. There's no way the mad...
That is a big gut.
The mad few would have to make some kind of public show of power at that stage. Basically a warning for next season. But I think it's a tricky question to answer at this point, because I don't know the other runners and riders, because when we beat Rotherham and we went into sixth place, we had only won 3 out of 8 games and we were in sixth place, which what does that tell you about the championship? That it hasn't got clean-cut teams who are carving up opposition. It's not that great.
Said it in August. I genuinely think this season there isn't a standout team.
Yeah. Oh, and there's the buzzer. Right. I think we have midnight mass at the Mad Few Temple to attend now. We've got 5 minutes to get there. Right. We will return with a regular show sometime next week.
Regular. It's going to be mad.
Sometime next week, probably. But, with the Mad Few, who knows? So until then, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And don't forget,
stay intelligent.
Mad.
My old man said.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.